please stand for the reading of the sermon text that is, as it is the gospel for today. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you, God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word taken from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46, Jesus praying on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, is skydiving on your bucket list? Something I have to do before I die? I can tell you that it is not on my bucket list. Maybe a little bit of my mom left in me. But why die because of something on your bucket list? You jump out of the plane, you might hit the tail. Your chute might not open. It might tangle with somebody else's. You might come in hot and hit that oak tree, and sounds like a whole lot of fun until someone gets hurt. So bottom line, this guy is not jumping. Does life, though, ever seem like God is asking you to jump out of an airplane? That's a long way down, Lord. A lot could happen, like death. I don't want to do this, Lord. I never did, and I won't. I will not jump. But does life ever feel like God is practically pushing us out the door of the airplane? Things out of control, life rushing at us. The news of a loved one who went to heaven way too early, and we didn't have a chance to say goodbye. The diagnosis, "Doc, you can't mean me." The downsizing at work, and yes, the line says, "Too old, no longer able to meet requirements." Whoa! And for some of us, just the senior citizen discount is all that it takes. The air against the face, the wide open space, and the jump into the unknown, inevitable. God, are you there? Life happens, you know. And submission to the will of God takes faith. Trust that the will of God is always best. Jesus models for us trust as he invites us along into the garden to his leap of faith, what it took to save us from our sins. Something no one else could ever do but him. And because of him and through faith in him, none of us will ever have to do. You see, Jesus jumped out the door into his Father's will, and it was a long way down to hell and back. And he went alone. He had to. He went determined. He loved like no one else. He went with great anguish as both God and man. Because sin and death was not his to carry, yet he took it up for us anyway. Total separation from his Father, hell, was ours until he took it off our plate. He jumped into his Father's will. He had to save us and to teach us something about submitting to the will of his Father, the will of God, that it's always best. So we are told, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. He said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation. In other words, be proactive, stand ready to do God's will. Okay, how is your bat swing these days? How is your bat swing? Doing the will of God is a lot like being in the batter's box looking for a pitch to hit. The Christian wakes up every day knowing that it is his or her job to take whatever God sends our way and hit it, looking for a pitch to hit. There are 10 different commandments, 10 different pitches that God can throw at us involving people and things and loving as he would have us love. And so the Christian wakes up every day and says, okay, Lord, I'm up and at 'em. I'm in the box. Give me a pitch to hit. Oh, being patient with the children before school, that's an easy one. A blooper into right center. A little bit of prayer time, Lord, with you in the Starbucks drive-thru, easy one too, a little bunt down the third baseline. Pondering only how beautiful my wife is, Lord, well, that's an easy one too, a smack into the left field corner for a triple. And keeping you as the center of my being, God, oh, I really want to do that one, that's a home run. Give me a pitch down the middle and let's see what we can do, because I am all about proactively doing the will of my God. Lord, give me a pitch to hit. In the garden, Jesus models being proactive, looking for pitches to hit, avoiding temptation. He was in the batter's box that day. He always had been. Striving and accomplishing, batting 1,000 for you and me, perfection in our place. The disciples had also always been in the batter's box. But on this day, it's almost as if they're in the on-deck circle because something new is coming their way, a temptation they have not seen before. Would they really walk with Jesus to his death and even die with him as they had bragged so boldly in the safety of the upper room? Or would they in the end turn in fear and betrayal? Surely you are one of them, Peter would hear. That's Pastor Bonach's sermon for next weekend. Jesus said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Be proactive. Stand ready to do the will of God. Come on, God, just give me a pitch to hit. But if you have lived enough years, you know that time in the batter's box is not only about the day-to-day keeping of God's commandments, loving his will, seeking to hit every pitch, repenting when we miss, even not picking up the bat, receiving God's forgiveness in Jesus so that when we step up next, the scoreboard says, and now batting 1,000, it's Nathan Strobel. Awesome, right? But sometimes the pitch, the thing that God brings our way, is more like standing at the open door of an airplane and saying, God, that's a long ways down. Someone could get hurt here. Someone could die. How is this fair? Jesus was in the batter's box when the time came for him to do the work that no one else could do, suffering hell for the sin of the world. Jesus knew what was coming, and his human and divine natures were both repulsed at the idea of jumping into hell. You see, he and his Father had created us to live. Death is not part of how God made us. Jesus saw the physical suffering of the cross speeding toward him. He saw the spiritual suffering of separation from God, from the love of his Father rushing toward him. But in the midst of it all, he models for us how to be proactive, planning for God's will by even addressing it in prayer to his Father. He said boldly, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. This cup of suffering with its bitter dregs. If you are willing, take this cup from me. My friends, the prayer of faith trusts the heart of our God, that he will love us, that he will hear us, and he just might choose to throw us a different pitch. So the Christian, God's children, We pray, and we pray boldly, that God might send us a pitch right down the middle, easier to hit, lessening the burden of our life. Or we pray for a miracle walk to first base as God takes the load off of us completely. James says in his epistle, you do not have because you do not ask God. God's children pray for miracles, that God might change his pitch selection or give us a free pass to first base. But you and I know that God does not always call us to do the ordinary, the expected Christian walk. Sometimes he doesn't ask us to do the easier, he asks us to do the more difficult out of love and service and blessing for others. Take Andrew as an example. Andrew signed up to do God's will, to marry a young woman and be a husband to her. But then God threw them a curve that they did not see coming until it blasted across the plate, a child born with cystic fibrosis. 5 years into the marriage and some time into that struggle, Andrew got tired of swinging. And he told his wife, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up for this, and I am stepping out of the batter's box. I am done. True story, Andrew walked away. I do not see your blessing, God. I do not like your plan, and I will not jump. Is God only blessing us when we can see it? And how good are we at praying dangerously as Jesus did? Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. Do you hear the subtle shift in Jesus' words and his will? The transition from proactively addressing God and his will to proactively embracing. We're told an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood. He rose from prayer, went back to his disciples, found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray. Proactive, so that you will not fall into temptation. I don't know about you, but I have two thoughts on this, that last part of the text. Exactly how did the angel strengthen Jesus? And to what end did he strengthen Jesus? Did the angel supply him with some aspirin for his headache and some cool spring water for his mouth and his throat and his face? Seriously. Did the angel supply emotional comfort from Jesus as one of the creatures he had made actually cared? Was the glory of God visibly present for Jesus coming through that angel to comfort the Son of God and the Son of Man? Was there a miraculous rush of adrenaline to help Jesus prepare for and be ready for this journey that was hours or really moments away? I do not know the answers to those questions. But we can address the second thought. To what end did the angel strengthen him? We read, then he prayed more earnestly and rose from prayer. The angel strengthened Jesus somehow for his work of embracing the will of his Father. Father, this is your will to save them. I claim it as my own. In that moment, Jesus saw exactly what was coming at the open door of the plain. His Father deserting him, no shoot. The torments of hell, betrayal by his friends, rejection by his own creation, salt in an already bitter wound. Yet Jesus loved us so much, he stepped forward in faith. And he prayed as he embraced his Father's will and soldiered on so that the world would understand that the will of his Father is always best. And so he rose from prayer. Think about that. Matthew's version tells us that Jesus fell with his face to the ground, the ultimate humility before his God and Father. I ask you, have you ever prayed with that much humility before our God? In the fetal position, under the covers, in the dark of night, sleep escaping you hour after hour, Father, I am afraid to step into your will. Please give me a different pitch to hit. Remind me how Jesus died for me. Help me to trust that you do not punish your children because you punished him. And Father, if you are asking me to jump, will you please jump with me? Jesus jumped alone, but I cannot. I am not strong enough. And not my will, but yours be done, O Lord, just as Jesus taught me to pray. Help me to trust your will, Father, and embrace it, to step out in faith and to step into action. Just like Jesus did. We're told he rose from prayer, found his disciples, and then said in Matthew's version, "Let us go, here comes my betrayer facing." But Luke wants us to know that in the middle of Jesus struggling with his own anguish, he never stopped coaching you and me. Get up and pray so that you will be ready. Lord, give us a pitch to hit so that you will not fall into temptation. Dear friends, what is our purpose for living as believers in Jesus on this planet? Is it not to embrace the will of our God, to act in thanksgiving for salvation, and to shine with his light that all the world may know him? Sometimes I think we might be tempted to think too much like an American and not enough like a Christian. We might think that our lineage as Americans entitles us to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And surely God will not ask us to deal with something truly difficult. We might forget that the very Son of God came into this world not to live a life of leisure, but a very short life of 33 years, all in service to you and me. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We do know, don't we, that there are Christians who live all around this globe, this earth, right? Did you know that there are 3 billion people on this planet who live every day on less than $2.50? Many of them are Christian. Did you know that 2.1 billion people on this planet do not have access to clean water? 1 in 7 go hungry every day. 3.5 billion don't have access to essential health care. Many of them are Christian. If you fall asleep at night, not fearful for your life, do we understand how unique that is in most places of the earth? Yet around this earth, there are many Christians who trust their God but fall asleep at night in fear. The blessings of this life are just that. Blessings from God Most High that we don't deserve, but we have them, and not as an entitlement because of who we are and where we live, just by God's grace. So my friends, how would we react if the blessings of this life were instantly, of this life, were instantly taken away, and we were standing at the open door of the airplane, and we're looking out into immense poverty, a curable disease with no one to help, or fear in my every moment of my every day and my every night? Really, God, are you there? How will we handle it when the blessings of this life are slipping away? When death is threatening to strip us of all that we have known? What will we do if God throws us a curve And life takes a turn we never saw coming. God asking us to serve another in a way we never imagined, or asking others to serve us with a challenge we never would have chosen. Can we trust the will of God the way Jesus did as he stood at the door of the plane? You know, his trust in his Father's plan accomplished salvation for you and for me. That's enough to inspire me to trust my God and to pray every day for the readiness, not just to swing the bat, but to jump out of the plane whenever my God would say, go. And my prayer for you is that God's love in saving you will inspire you to trust that the will of God is always best. And that when we fail to trust, the leap that Jesus took for us brings us forgiveness. That gives us peace and comfort every day. Do you know that bucket list? Well, it will never include skydiving for this guy. In fact, I'm trying to shorten my bucket list. I do not want to be distracted from being ready for whatever pitch, the important pitches God might throw my way. And I don't want to be more self-centered than I already am. And fail to trust the will of God when he throws me a curveball I wasn't expecting. I am here to serve his plan. So Father in heaven, as you pitched to your son, so pitch to me. Give me a pitch to hit. And God, if ever you want me to actually jump out of an airplane, I will. Because the will of God is always best. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus.